Man, I'm tired.
Sorry, we can go for a short pod.
Famous last words. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoops Temple podcast. We are without Nico, but we still have myself, Nathan Schwartz, and of course, Dylan Williamson.
What's up, Nate?
Not too much. I know I asked in the pre-pod, but I gotta ask again for the listeners. You, good sir, are not a Marvel Cinematic Universe fan, are you?
No, I'm not a follower. How many movies are there in total? Like 20? Is 20 even an understatement? I've probably seen like 4.
I think we're at like 25 at this point with another dozen announced.
Yeah, so I'm very... more getting made at a greater rate than I'm seeing them.
That is true. And recently one came out. The Eternals came out about 2 weeks ago. So if you haven't watched it, I'm going to try to remain semi-spoiler free. But yeah, we're about a month into the season. We could do 1 month hot takes of who should be the MVP. Have that debate. Is it Durant? Is it Curry? Is it Jokic? All three have been amazing. Who should win Coach of the Year? Ultimately, none of this matters. It's a month in. Why would we spend our time doing that? So we're going to do something that also does not matter, and that is compare Eternals characters to NBA teams, players, coaches. Now, Dylan, I'm going to try my best not to spoil the movie too much, but I'm going to give you kind of a brief explanation. I'm going to workshop this. I thought about writing it up as like a write-up. Mm-hmm. We'll just, editor and writer here. Give you some of who these people are, and you tell me what NBA teams you think they might be.
Fantastic. So. I love bringing coaches into it too. That opens up a whole another realm of possibility.
Oh yeah.
Could be even bigger nerds and include like president of basketball operations. Like, oh yeah, that guy is definitely Masai Ujiri.
Honestly, after listening to like 25 episodes of the Domtonio wing cast to prepare for Ben Golliver coming on, I feel like I have some Kevin Pritchard takes that the world is not ready for.
All right.
So where do you want to begin? Do you want to begin with like a major character or one of the more minor characters and kind of warm up there?
I don't know. Start at the top. Who's the lead protagonist in this film that I know nothing about and have just heard about today?
So the major protagonist, her name is Cersei. She can transform matter into another type of matter. So you want to turn a rock into a piece of wood into water? Great. That's her main shtick. She is in the middle of a love triangle. She's trying to lead the group. She doesn't quite know what to go or where to go. Does she want to stay with her like old eternal friends, or does she want to fall in love with a human? Who can you think of that maybe... it's kind of torn between staying or going for this NBA comparison.
I think that main protagonist right now, in my head, I'm thinking of Dame. Not just from like, okay, you know, this is my crew. This is who I've always been with. Is it time to move on to bigger and brighter things? But also like her superpower, you said, is if I was to translate that into basketball, that sounds like creating something from nothing. And one of the best shot creators and playmakers in the league is Damian Lillard. So that's who I'm thinking of. Who did you have in mind?
That was exactly who I had in mind. And I probably led the question too much. But it was just like, oh yeah, you can transform something into nothing. If you put Damian Lillard on a nothing of a team, they're at least now a something of a team. So... you know, he can transform a lottery team into a playoff team into like a dark horse.
Yeah, he can transform a poorly executed play into a step back 3-pointer,
which is not going in for him this year.
Not going in right now.
Yeah, he's also out for a little bit with an abdominal injury, which LeBron's also out with an abdominal injury. It feels kind of interesting. We've got two like superstars out with ab injuries.
Supposedly, that's been something that's popped up for Dame several times throughout his career. So it's looking like potentially a sort of a chronic ailment at this point. So hopefully he's able to get past that. Or the other way is hopefully he doesn't well, not that he doesn't get healthier, but maybe he doesn't get much better, and therefore the Blazers suck, and then they have to make a tough decision and we get some excitement. Man, Blazers fans must really hate NBA podcasts. Like, they've been blowing up that team for like the last half decade, despite conference finals runs.
It's the mediocrity. They're not good enough for us to ever get too excited for. I was listening to another podcast that was talking about how Anthony Simons has really been hitting this year. And I was like, oh, okay, let me go like try to watch a Blazers game and really key in on this. I watched the Blazers play the Lakers, and he wasn't doing all that much. And I pulled up his stats, and it's like, oh yeah, he had an 18-point game, and then a 6-point game, and then a 15-point game. And it's like, oh, okay, so he's just semi-inconsistent, and when they don't have Lillard clicking, he'll get some extra shots. And
yeah, big development for the Blazers. They've got a created a semi-competent bench scorer.
Yeah, all of those years of draft picks, like, I mean, I know that they're picking in kind of bad places. Like, the Blazers have not had a lottery pick in however long. So I mean, getting Simons in the 20s, getting Nasir Little in the 20s is a win, but it's also just not enough. You need to hit a home run, and they're getting singles.
Yeah. All right. You want to swing it over to a minor character?
All right. I've got the perfect minor character right here. It's actually Cersei's roommate when the movie opens, and it's in the present, and that is Sprite. Sprite is a child, an immortal child, basically. So she's lived several million years at this point, but still has the body of a child. Her main power is that she can create illusions, and it looks cool and powerful. But really, her only way of like hurting someone is stabbing them with this little knife. So she's basically, in my mind, like, big projectionist, can look cool and sweet, but has no real punch.
All right. So that sounds like an empty stats guy. That sounds like someone who's putting up impressive box scores and not helping their team win. I'm just trying to think of how to swing it back around to being an immortal child. So the initial description, I was like, all right, immortal child, someone that doesn't get old, like maybe LeBron. He seems to be pretty immortal, you know, stays in the body of a child. I was like, oh, well, Steph's getting pretty old and he's not aging. And, you know, he's the baby-faced assassin. So that makes more sense. But those are two guys who would be like super powerful. Yeah. Like the power description doesn't really fit them. You got any ideas on this one?
So I was actually thinking more of a team.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I forgot we could do that. Yeah.
And I was thinking, like, the Wizards, who are, you know, starting off really good and they look cool. I was like, oh, wow. And you just know that when the final battle of the movie comes, or in the Wizards' case, the playoffs, it's just going to be like bringing a knife to a gunfight.
Yep, that's a good one. The only other thing I could think of would be, like, one of these perpetually rebuilding teams, and the idea that, you know, even as they get older, all their players stay young because they're always rebuilding. Mm-hmm. But no, I like the Wizards.
I did kind of think of one of your favorite guys when you were giving me your descriptions, which is Carl Anthony Towns. You know, we always think of him as pretty young and on that perpetually rebuilding Minnesota Timberwolves, but he's getting kind of old and they're still not doing anything.
Yeah, almost wanted to be like, swing it around like the Mavs or something.
We'll have to see if we can work the Mavs in on this. I didn't think of any for the Mavs in particular.
Right, well, we'll see who the other characters are. Maybe we can work it in. Are there any characters who have very pronounced strengths that they are encouraged to move away from into and emphasize their weaknesses for some reason?
So, like a Russell Westbrook that does a lot really well and yet tanks his team throughout his own mediocrity?
No, I was thinking, like, you know, Porzingis is like a really good floor spacer and he's pretty big, so he can stand it under the rim, and like those are two valuable skills. But instead he plays the four, where he's too slow to be good at defense and like tries to post up and shoot mid-rangers. So I was thinking, like, is there a character who has these tremendous strengths that they don't use for whatever reason?
Ooh, there is one character who has tremendous strengths. That's Gilgamesh. He is the strongest Eternal, like just big, heavy set dude. And he basically sidelines himself for a large part of the Eternals' history because he wants to take care of someone. So in this case, we might be able to say that we want Kristaps Porzingis to become a Gilgamesh who has these good strengths, but like kind of set some of them aside to take a secondary role. Well, because he's next to someone so great.
Yeah, or sidelining himself, just really, you know, there's a pretty prominent NBA player who's currently sidelining himself. So that could be the other analogy, if you catch my drift.
I do. I don't want to do that, though, because...
Oh, there's a better one?
Well, more Gilgamesh was just so great, and like he sidelines himself to take care of a fallen Eternal.
Okay.
It's like a self-sacrificial, like a really positive thing. So I don't want to connect him to Kyrie Irving because I do not feel positive about Kyrie.
But Kyrie is a martyr. He's the voice for the voiceless. He's sidelining himself to look after people who don't care about public health.
Yeah, Kyrie, just get the shot. Go play ball. I mean, we just discussed Karl Anthony Towns a minute ago, and it needs to be said whenever Kyrie gets brought up. Towns lost 6 or 7 family members to COVID. Kyrie, get the shot. Just do it.
Mm.
But I did think of one of his teammates for the one that Gilgamesh is protecting. So
yeah.
There's Athena, which is very much a play on the goddess Athena. Athena is like this warrior, super powerful, can generate weapons. And she gets a disease called Mad Weary, where she like isn't fully in control of her body and sometimes like snaps out of it and like lashes out and attacks her own teammates. But when she's like got her head on straight, she is the most powerful, like, or not most powerful, but like best with weapons of the group. And so I was thinking of her as like a James Harden type, kind of loses his way, kind of can be a little dysfunctional at times, but when it's going, it's just fantastic.
Yeah. And also the analogy of like having like all the weapons. He's got the step back, got the floater, got the little running three-pointer. But at the moment, you know, he's suffering, and we'll see if he can pull through to contribute to his team.
I really just wonder if he learned the wrong lesson from last season, which is just that he can show up out of shape and play his way back into shape. Like,
yeah.
I mean, we put him into the MVP conversation midway through the year after he like very intentionally just player tanked himself. So if I'm James Harden and I'm having a short off season, I mean, why not? Like, what is the big penalty or punishment?
So he's player tanking, but on the team that he wants to play for.
Yeah.
I can't believe that like he set up the blueprint on how to like get traded from a team, and then like Ben Simmons and Rich Paul managed to just be like, okay, so we can do it that way, or let's just make them call our bluff and fine us. And then they're like, yep, we're not giving you millions of dollars. And I'm like, oh, fuck.
The Ben Simmons situation just bugs me so much because I know I slandered Ben Simmons a lot in our top 100. I think I initially ranked him at like 60, and then slowly he worked his way back up into the 30s for me.
Yeah.
But like, I took some convincing and I like thought through it. I'm like, all right, even if he's a net zero on offense, he's still a really valuable defensive player. And he's not a net zero on offense because his passing and his movement still makes him pretty valuable.
Mm-hmm.
But
especially in transition, like he's still a good offensive player in transition. It's just the half court where, you know, it's not giving you a whole lot.
Yeah. I'm all for, all right, it doesn't work in Philly. Philly needs to move him. Well, Philly decided to ask for ridiculous stuff, and everyone tried to underbid Philly. And then Simmons, instead of following the Harden or the Butler model, just decides to come with every fake excuse in the book. And even, this was recently, I was listening to, was it Open Floor? And they're discussing how Mark Spears was having conversations with Ben Simmons' people about two months ago, 8 weeks ago. And it led Spears to tweet out that Simmons is in a good place mentally, and that Simmons' people reaching out and telling him that.
Yeah.
And so now they're invoking mental health, and I want to be incredibly respectful because like mental health is a big problem and a big issue, But when you've already tried to fake a back injury, when you've already tried to hold out, when you've already tried everything you can to not show up and play, like at some point, I'm not saying that he doesn't have mental health problems, but I am saying at some point they're semi self-inflicted mental health problems. Like, you lost $8 million because of your own actions. I understand that would upset me mentally, but that is also not the team's fault. That is Ben Simmons's fault.
Do you think that it could get to a point where he'd fire Rich Paul? Because, like, in my mind, like, Ben Simmons, he doesn't know the CBA. He wouldn't be the one that's making these plans. That's all Rich Paul, who's obviously advising him to do all these things and getting a lot of it wrong. Like, he thought he couldn't lose money. And then they're like, oh, yeah, with, that $8 million payment that we owe you, we're not going to give it to you. And Rich Paul thought that they couldn't do that. And so, like, it's all Rich Paul's plan, which is going terribly. And he's even further from getting traded. Now he's getting to the point where their best plan is to tell his current team and every other team that he's, like, not mentally ready to play. Like, how does that make another team feel about you? And that, like, that's your best plan, is to tell other teams that you can't play? Does it get to a point where Ben Simmons is like, okay, I want out of here. I've made that clear. This guy is failing at every point in this plan. Maybe it's time to go another route.
Yeah, I mean, I guess maybe it does.
Like, Morey must be absolutely sick of Rich Paul by now. Like, they can't have much of a relationship. So just bring in a guy that can, maybe already has that relationship, that can create a better sort of working dialogue with Morey, and it's not so adversarial. And they can, come to a amicable agreement.
Who is Joel Embiid's agent? Bernie Lee. Who I know nothing about.
Bernie Lee, who's he work for?
I don't know. It looks like Joel Embiid left CAA to go sign with Bernie Lee. But I don't know. I just thought that the idea might be, if you can get them under the same agency, then it doesn't really help Simmons out, but it might smooth over some of the animosity, because you got to at least keep good relations. Like, it was kind of
That
how.
would actually be like a pretty baller play to just be like, all right, I'm signing with Embiid's agent, so now if you piss him off, like, that's going to affect you with the star player that you actually want to keep too.
Yeah. It was kind of like how Giannis Antetokounmpo's agent is the same guy who represents Bam Adebayo. And so, like, as soon as Giannis basically let it be known that he was going to re-sign with Milwaukee, they like gave heads up to Miami, and Miami's like, boom, here is Bam's super extension. And actually, I think Bam signed his before Giannis signed his, and it was kind of
Yeah,
like
he
a
did.
like wink, wink. We all know now this means Giannis is getting and signing his. But I don't know. Maybe Simmons is actually the Athena of, a super powerful player who just gets taken out mentally and, is then a huge detriment. All right. Well, this one I thought would be kind of fun. There's a character played by Kit Harington who literally shows up and is in like the whole first opener, and like it is one of the lo love interests of Cersei, and then we just don't see him for the rest of the movie.
Okay, fantastic.
He doesn't die, but it's just like, all right, you're a human and we Eternals need to go save the world, so why don't you just stay here? We'll Skype you in, like we're literally gonna like FaceTime you in later in the movie, but you're gone, and then you get to show up in the after credits stinger as like a trailer for the next movie, basically. Based on that premise, what teams do you think are like gonna show up early right now and be fun, completely fall off for the rest of the season, but will be like kind of exciting team for the next 4 or 5 years and be like a franchise staple moving forward?
I mean, the one that comes to mind immediately is the 9-5 four-seeded Cleveland Cavaliers. They kind of did this last year as well, where they show up early, they're looking good. Eventually that's gonna fall off, they're gonna drop off. But with Darius Garland, with Evan Mobley, especially, this is a team that, that sequel, that next iteration of the NBA, that they could have a bigger part to play. And just to, like, break the third wall slightly, Kit Harington, that's the guy that played Jon Snow, right?
Yes, it is.
So something about him that's interesting is, as an actor, his acting skills like vary greatly based on who he's in a scene with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So in like the earlier seasons where he's like with Ygritte, that's his wildling girlfriend, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the actress that plays her, I can't remember her name, you know, she's a very talented actress, and you know, they obviously have real world chemistry, and so Kit Harington puts on a great performance. But later in the seasons where he starts to interact with more mediocre actors and actresses, you know, when he does scenes with Emilia Clarke, who's less talanted than she is.
Don't be slandering Emilia Clarke here.
when he interacts with Emilia Clarke, who's a less talented actress, his acting skills also fall off, and you know, both of them. So he's a guy that really relies on, you know, the pieces that he has to work with, and so I'm trying to work that back into the Cavs as well.
I figured you were trying to do a big setup here, because I will not stand for any Emilia Clarke's slander. I will also not stand for Peter Dinklage slander, who he gets to share the screen with later on.
So I think the one would be that it's not the Cavaliers team that is that character, but it's the entire franchise. And you know, they'll be heard from again. But if they don't have a guy like LeBron to play off of, then they're incredibly mediocre. And that's the real world element that I'm bringing into the Cavs.
That's fair. It was very clear that his character was not well fleshed out, but was like super fun and like playful, and he's kind of like figured out that the Eternals are something, and he like just straight up asks Cersei like, "Hey, are you a wizard like Doctor Strange? Because you're really weird about these things, and like I notice semi-magical things happen around you."
Semi-magical things.
Yeah. So
like Lauri Markkanen succeeding at Small Forge, you know, semi-magical things.
But then he like just completely drops out. You're like, man, I thought I was going to see Kit Harington, but he is just like in the first 8 minutes of this movie and then shows up in the after credits stinger. So I had thought about maybe Memphis, because Memphis got off to a strong start and they're already slowing down. Yeah. But I think Memphis is already better than the amount of time that we saw Kit Harington.
Yeah.
Because it's legitimately like 8 minutes.
Crazy. Yep, fantastic. So. No, I like my Cavs analogy. They're coming in strong, but they're you know, come the climax of the season, they're gonna be nowhere to be seen.
I love it. Perfect. All right. This one I think works best for a coach. And I don't really have a coach in mind. But there's a character, Druig. It's like Druid, but with a G instead of a D.
Yeah, they're very creative with these names.
Yeah, right? I mean, to be fair, these were all thought of in like the 70s, so probably a fair amount of LSD going on.
Okay.
But so Druig, his power is mind control, and basically he kind of like will stop humans from fighting and stop all of these things. He's like, man, humans are just the worst. Like, I should just control them all, and then humanity will be better. And when the Eternals split up, he basically forms like a commune cult in the middle of the Amazon, like deep in the jungle, and just basically mind controls them all to work together.
Mm.
Can you think of a coach that is mind controlling their team, or maybe a coach that really would like to mind control their team?
Hmm, that's a tough one. So, I mean, maybe like not so much now, but like maybe like Greg Popovich, you know, where like any player that joined the Spurs, you know, they sort of set aside their own, you know, their own free will to become a Spursian player. You know, their own individual desires were put aside for, you know, the good of the team, which is presumably, you know, what Popovich's idea of how they should behave and how they should conduct themselves is. And so, like, thinking about some of those great Spurs teams, you know, even when we saw when Manu... Was it Tony came out and basically talked shit about Kawhi when he was going through his injury stuff and looking to get out of there?
Yeah.
And basically the reporting said, you know, these guys don't do anything without Popovich's say. So you know that if whoever it was is talking shit about Kawhi, that's coming from Popovich. And so, you know, that sort of shows a level of control. And so, yeah, I think that would be the one. Although if there was to be any coach that would like go and start a commune in the Amazon, Maybe the Zen Master would be that guy.
Oh, Phil would love to start a commune in the Amazon.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I had two thoughts, because there's kind of a thing with Druig, and the thing is that he's kind of a dick.
Okay, fantastic.
And so I was like, I mean, maybe Tibbs is just like, I'm going to yell at you until you do exactly as I say.
Yeah.
Like, he would love mind control. And the other one is Frank Vogel. Like, if I can think of anyone that's just like, I wish I could just...
Yeah.
Just tap into, like, the subconscious of my people and make them do exactly as I say. Because we have pieces. We just need our pieces to do things that they don't want to do.
Yeah.
No one wishes they were Druig more than Frank Vogel.
Does that character, like, try to refrain from using his powers, like, at first? Like, it's a conflict thing where he's like, man, I don't know if I should just control people.
Not to get too spoilery, but maybe a little spoilery. He's not the leader of the Eternals. And the leader is like, hey, don't mess with human conflicts. Like, our job is to protect them against this other race of semi-immortal beings that we have to kill. Like, that only we're strong enough to kill. So you can use your mind to, like, get them to safety and get them away from them. But if humans decide to fight each other, you can't use it. And it's like his kind of breaking point where he's just like, nah, screw you. Screw the rest of the Eternals. I'm out. I'm going to go just mind control people and our society will be better.
Yeah. So I wonder if that's like where Frank Vogel's at, where it's like, no, you can't, you know, you have to listen to the whims of LeBron and AD and Westbrook, and you have to let them do whatever they want. But if he's going to get to the point where he's like, nah, you know what? Screw you guys. I'm the coach. You have to do what I say. And if that means, Russ, you're coming off the bench in the playoffs, then you're coming off the bench. And AD, you're playing center 40 minutes a game.
If only he could have that power.
Yep. Well, we'll see. Maybe he'll embrace his druidness and turn the Lakers into an Amazonian commune where he is in total control of things like who plays and how much, and, you know, if Carmelo's DNP CD.
Honestly, okay, we talked about Carmelo for a second. Because everyone gets so hype and they're like, oh my God, Carmelo is shooting like almost 50% from three. He still is shooting really good from three.
Yeah.
But it's super hit or miss. Like, he had a 7-for-10 game against Charlotte, followed by a 1-for-5, followed by a 1-for-8. So, I mean, those three games end up being 9-for-27, which, or 9-for... quick math, 9-for-23, which is still really, really good. Like, that's 40-something%, 45-ish%. However, that's one good game and two bad games. And, like, that's kind of what you're getting out of Carmelo, where even when he's having a good game, his good game is a lot of isolation, not, like, catch-and-shoot hits. You know, he ball stops and jab steps and, like, turn back down mid-post fade, and it's very reminiscent of late-stage Kobe, which, as a Kobe guy, I love, but I also remember we didn't win with that. That was not a good look.
Yeah. I remember they played a close game against the Grizzlies earlier in the season, and Carmelo was hot, so Vogel left him into close. And it was, you know, what Lakers had, like, a narrow lead, time getting low in the game, and they had an offensive position, and what do? They run a mid-range ISO for Carmelo. Like, that's the kind of thing, like, you almost don't want Carmelo to play too good, or he's going to want to close, and, like, LeBron will give him the ball in mid-range ISO, which he, of course, missed. And, like, that was the game that Ja missed the free throw that could have sent it to overtime. And their final offensive position was mid-range Carmelo Anthony ISO. I do kind of feel that a lot of the reason that people are holding him in such high regard for the season he's having this year is just that, like, the Lakers don't really have a lot of good players.
No, they do not.
That have been available. And so, like, you know, competent bench player Carmelo Anthony is just so much better than, like, two-way guy Rajon Rondo, washed, you know, Avery Bradley, who's replacement level. You know, you can get Avery Bradley for free off a free agency. So to just have a guy who's slightly, very slightly above replacement level, I think just sort of makes him stand out.
And he's competing with Austin Reeves for the best Laker outside of LeBron and Anthony Davis right now.
Yeah.
That's where it comes down to, is Who's the third best Laker? Austin Reeves, poor man's Alex Caruso, or Carmelo Anthony, one of the 75 at 75.
I was kind of thinking, like, with LeBron injured, you know, you've got AD, you've got Russ. AD's possibly the best center, at the very least, if we say he's a center, he's top three. Russ, for as flawed as he is, he's still probably, you know, top 30 at his position. Like, who's the next guy who's the highest rated player at his position? Is it like Carmelo Anthony is the 50th best power forward? Like, is that the roster that they've got where your fourth best player is the 50th best player at his position?
Hey, when we did the top 100 rankings, we did not give a second thought to anyone else on that roster outside of,
yeah.
You know, there wasn't even the chance that we're like, oh, you know, Avery Bradley or Kent Bazemore. Like, we discussed a lot of guys who were that prototypical three and maybe a little bit of offense. You know, like a Jay Crowder, I think, ended up in the 60s for our rankings.
Yeah.
The Lakers don't even have that. They don't have the solid, good role player.
I've been kind of wanting to, like, do sort of a deep dive on, like, this idea that, you know, the Lakers are making all these great moves. Or even just, like, the idea that they are... You know, I was trying to find the list because I want to refer back to it, but it was like a list of some NBA insiders were like ranking the best run organizations. I think the Lakers were like top five. I was just like, man, this is absurd. Like, they let Alex Caruso go because they didn't want to pay the tax. They've made all these bad trades. You know, they had the terrible first LeBron season where they thought they would give him a whole bunch of ball handlers and no shooters. They traded Zubats, who's a starting center, for... You know, Mike Muscala. They had one good season last season where, like, Rajon Rondo happened to, like, it's never been the season before. But, like, just some of the roster moves, it's like, you know, coming into the season, people are like, oh my God, Pelinka's a genius. Malik Monk, Kendrick Nunn, Trevor Ariza. It's like, man, these guys aren't that good. You could have had KCP, Kuzma, and Caruso. Instead, you got Russell Westbrook and Kendrick Nunn. So that's sort of something that I wanted to... maybe even write about. It's just like this misconception that, you know, the Lakers are crushing it. Let's make all these baffling moves.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the kind of combo Magic Pelinka era, because it kind of blends together.
Yeah.
From their initial draft where they did pretty good, you know, they traded Lou Williams for Corey Brewer and a pick that was Tony Bradley. They flipped that for Josh Hart and Thomas Bryant.
That I think could be like the one redeeming factor is like they keep getting good guys in the draft.
Mm-hmm. They flipped D'Angelo Russell and Mozgov for Kuzma and Brook Lopez, who, man, why didn't we keep Brook Lopez? But then you just look kind of a little bit further down the line in some of the trades. It's Clarkson and Nance for Fry and Isaiah Thomas and a future first. It's guys like, okay, we traded Svi Mykhailiuk, who's now started two games for the Raptors this year, for Reggie Bullock.
Man, either one of those guys would be starting for the Lakers right now.
Oh, yeah. You know, we traded Danny Green and Jaden McDaniels, who...
are both starters.
Yeah, despite his high foul propensity on Minnesota, has been like a really good defensive player. And it's on a cost-controlled contract for Schroeder.
Yeah.
Traded JaVale McGee for Jordan Bell and Alphonso McKinney. Didn't keep either of those. Of course, our wonderful trade for Russell, where we just gave up. I'll never understand why we had to put that pick in there. Like, what did Tommy Shepard have on on Rob Pelinka that pick needed to be included?
What was the story on how that move even got done? Because the Kings deal was about to go ahead, but then, like, Russ got wind of that and, like, went to the owner and told the owner to get Tommy Shepard to trade Westbrook to the Lakers. So, like, there's a guy with no leverage. Like, why are you taking back a terrible contract for positive assets and also getting it?
I think it's got to be something along the lines of Westbrook went to the owner and said, hey, so I've been tampering with the Lakers.
Yeah.
And they're like, we can get them caught on tampering. Like, that'll work.
Oh man, that's a good theory. So that's how they got the pick, just because, like, he's like, hey, you've been tampering with Russell Westbrook, I'm gonna get you, unless you give me this pick as well.
Yeah, absolutely. That is most definitely how this happened.
Oh man, fantastic.
Oh, all right. I wish I had a better segue to get us back to the Eternals kind of loose framework outline. But there was one Eternal that just screamed LeBron James to me.
Yeah.
And it's basically his name is Icarus. He can fly. He shoots laser beams out of his eyes. He's pretty much Superman. He's a little bit too stoic. Like, the others are kind of quippy and like laughy, and he's just like, I'm business. And
Zero Dark 30.
yeah, I also semi-abandoned you guys. Like, I abandoned my true love, Cersei, because I had to complete my greater mission. And it just feels like LeBron dipping out on
Across
Cleveland.
Cleveland,
Yeah. You think of literally any other player that is Superman-esque and overly stoic.
Another thing that comes to mind is which it isn't the best analogy, but just like you remember that really awkward All-Star entrance where they all came out dancing and Derrick Rose is just standing there like,
Yeah.
man, fuck these guys. That's what that kind of sounds like to me, where you like, you've got all these goofy guys trying to get their jokes off, and then
They're
you've
just
got
focused.
your guy just there like, what the fuck? I'm here to play. I'm here to win.
I can see it. I'm going to just add one more slight thing for LeBron on the Icarus front, which is Icarus is part of the Cersei Dame Whitman love triangle. And not to be too spoilery, but Cersei doesn't go back to Icarus. And LeBron tried to recruit Dame Lillard. And then he scorned LeBron and stayed with the human. So I don't know, just that nice little tie-in that really makes me feel like if I were to write this out, I'd really go with LeBron here.
And I love that, like, Dame is spurning this godlike super being to be with a with like a human. It's like the Blazers are like the humans of the superhero world.
Yeah, it's really funny because Whitman is like a poetry professor, and Cersei is undercover as like a history professor. Because if you're an Eternal, what better to do than teach history? Because it's like, yeah, I remember when I was there. Yeah, she just looked at a history book like, ah, what the fuck? This is so wrong. But all right, there's still like four more of these people to go through. Because this movie had way too many characters.
Yeah, you want to do a lightning round?
Yeah. Kingo, played by Kumail Nanjiani. Super lovable, really fun, really quippy. He's a Bollywood superstar in the movie because he just like pretends to be the guy's son every couple of generations and keeps coming back. The thing most notable about him is that he just is like, nah, guys, I'm out for the final battle because like I don't want to fight on either side. And just totally tips. Like legitimately, he's just like, I'm out. And it's the one of the weirdest things in the movie because just like, all right, final battle time. We got everyone together. And there may have been some COVID-related reasons like as to why he wasn't in the filming. But it was really funny. So for him, I kind of posed the question to you of who is an incredibly lovable player that you just don't want to see in the fourth quarter, or that just like does not play in the fourth quarter.
Oh, I love the analogy. I was trying to think of something like that. So like my initial thought was like Giannis, but he won a championship, so I don't think we can really accuse him of disappearing. My next thought was like Embiid, of like super lovable guy that isn't always available when you need him. I don't know. Do we really have any notorious playoff chokers or like fourth quarter chokers in the league now?
So the one guy that kind of came to mind was LaMelo Ball, who's recently been kind of feuding with James Borrego over I want to play more in the fourth quarter, and Borrego's
Yeah,
like,
while simultaneously being, a second year player who doesn't know how to close games, and will go for 6 straight minutes without scoring against the Clippers.
So like that's kind
Yeah,
of who I
no,
was leaning
that's a
towards with
good one.
this.
I mean, just subjectively, young players don't really know how to close games.
And like LaMelo is super fun and exciting to watch, and that's kind of how you feel with Kingo. for the whole time. So you're like, man, I want more of this guy. I want more of this guy. And
yeah, then, he's a superstar, but like, he's not really, you know, getting the mission done.
Oh yeah, and like, they kind of have this whole like hierarchy of who thinks they're the best Eternal in the movie.
Hmm.
Like Gilgamesh is the strongest, like physically, he'll like lift huge things. Icarus is literally like Superman with laser bolts coming out of his eyes, and you know, that's like Icarus is really the leader. And then there's Thena, who's like, I'm just gonna like make weapons, and I am the best fighter out of all of us. And like Kingo's just like, I'm here, guys. I shoot little laser bolts from my fingers, like when I make gun fingers, like pew pew.
Yeah, shooting lasers from the fingers kind of sounds like Flashy Passes as well. So
yeah.
Yeah, he's shooting lasers to Miles Bridges.
That one worked out incredibly easily.
Yep.
All right. The next one, maybe a coach, but is Festos. And Festos is like a brilliant inventor who's just like, nah, fuck humanity. Because I tried to like help you guys advance and progress, and then you guys made the atom bomb, and I'm now horrified by like what humanity can become. So yeah. I don't know, maybe who's a curmudgeon that's just like given up on the league at whole.
I don't know, I don't really feel like coaches really give up, they sort of get given up on. So I guess the maybe like Daryl Morey, sorry, not Daryl Morey, Mike D'Antoni. Mm. Of like, you know, he's this inventor that tries to progress the league, but then, you know, it sort of devolves into, you know, I was thinking like, you know, like heliocentrism of like playing,
yeah,
one guy has the ball all the time. Although I kind of feel like D'Antoni is in on that.
Well,
maybe not. I mean, like the seven seconds is like is moving the ball. It's the opposite of Harden ball. So I wonder if it's like he put forward these offensive philosophies, and then it sort of devolved into heliocentrism and you know, against his wishes.
I really like that, because like Festos, I forget what he's initially pitches back in like Mesopotamia, but he's like, here, this thing is like a steam engine, it can, you know, help you like till up all these fields and grow all these crops. And they're like, Festos, these people are drawing in caves, something less advanced. He's like, fine, here's the plow, it helps you plow things.
Yeah.
But like he just has these grand beautiful schemes to like make a perfect society, and I feel like that's what D'Antoni thought he was doing with super efficient basketball and 7 seconds or less, and then it just becomes James Harden foul hunting. And it's like, oh no, what have I done?
Fantastic.
I love that the monster had become.
Yeah.
Two left. We've got Ajak, who I couldn't really think of anything for her. She's like the group leader. She's like kind of wise, kind of spiritual. Her superpowers is that she can heal herself. She also dies really early in the movie. So sorry, spoiler warning. I guess I should have said that before. I said that she dies really early on. But who is kind of like that good team that you expect to just die off, or like maybe a good player that, you know, you don't expect their game to last really long? Or I don't know. I couldn't think of a great question to ask for Ajak.
Mm. No, I like the team thing of like maybe a team that maybe like the Jazz, where like in the regular season, like they, any flaws that they have, like they can cover over with great 3-point shooting or Rudy Gobert's defense. You know, maybe I'm not a team that's built for the playoffs, so you don't expect them to be around at the end.
I really want the Jazz to be around at the end.
Yeah.
I think you and I are two of the most pro-Jazz people, and we still just unconsciously end up slandering them because they're just so slanderable.
Yeah, I'm the guy that wants to, like, is maybe like 50-45% convinced that Rudy Gobert is like a top 10 player in the league, but then also being like, yeah, goes away early, dies early. Yeah, that's the Jazz.
Yeah, I was looking into the Jazz numbers for the power rankings I put up just a few minutes before the podcast.
Yeah.
And the Jazz are just so terrible with just Gobert out there. Like, if you pair him with Mitchell or you pair him with Conley, they're fine. But it feels like it shouldn't be that hard to get someone who can play next to Gobert. It's like, hey, he is the easiest lob target in the world. Like, the guy is 7'2" with just these massive arms, and he's fairly mobile. But, like, Utah just seems to try to want to run him out there with Trent Forrest. Like, I don't know. I don't get it. They can cover themselves fine now, but I really love to see them get just a quality reserve guard.
I kind of think that's the thing, right, is you're saying that he sucks whenever he's not out there with Conley or Mitchell, but the way that their roster is structured is like one of those guys should always be out there.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever there's not, then that's like an issue with your rotation. Or that's, you know, Snyder not maybe using all of his weapons the way that he knows that he should. Clarkson is your backup guard. Like, you don't need another one. You know, there's not enough. There's only, you know, 2x48 minutes to go between Conley, Mitchell and Clarkson. Like, when you're trying, like, there's 96 minutes there between those three guys.
I want to say those three probably average more than 96. Just, well, it's also going to be a little bit thrown off because Conley's been sitting on back-to-backs. Those back-to-back nights, they can't stagger because they still try to do the stagger. And yeah, like, that, Gobert
that's,
without
that's the issue is, like, if when you have a rotation of three guards, if one of those guys is missing, then you get Trent Forrest playing with Rudy Gobert.
Yeah, and it's rough. All right. Well, then the last one here is Mercury, which is kind of a play on Mercury, the goddess of speed. And she's kind of like a Flash analog, you know, super speedster, wears red. She kind of just, like, avoids humanity once the Eternals break up. It just, like, sneaks around and, like, steals really valuable artifacts, basically. It's like, she has Excalibur, and she has, like, other things from history. But she basically just hangs out on the ship. But as soon as she gets into the fray, man, she lights it up so fast. You know, kind of play on being a speedster, but, like, man, she delivers a lot of really quick, really powerful blows. Mm-hmm. She's also, she's deaf, I want to say. She signs the entire movie, and, like, the actual actress is deaf. So it's really kind of cool to have some representation and for, you know, non-fully abled people. Mm-hmm. It was really cool to have her in there. But, I don't know. Yeah, to kind of avoid using Steph Curry, who was my, like, first thought, who else is someone that just lights it up super fast that maybe a bench player that you don't see all of the time?
I was thinking the other way of, like, you know, a guy that in the early going just sort of hangs around and doesn't do a whole lot, but then when it's time to battle, when you're in the fourth quarter or you're in the playoffs, then they really turn it on. So a guy who's like a big playoff player who just sort of kicks around in the regular season.
A Robert Horry.
Yep. I mean, like, we've already used LeBron. We can't use LeBron for everything, but guys whose focus is maybe even like Chris Paul, who, you know, in the regular season averages like, you know, 14 and 6 or whatever in the playoffs and in the fourth quarter too, you know, like he's a pretty awesome fourth quarter player.
I like that because he was closing games for them last season. And I was trying to look into the Suns' recent win streak. What are they at? 7 games, 6 game. And when, like, they're playing really well since Ayton went down. I don't think that's because Ayton went down, but I was trying to find who statistically maybe was causing this. You know, is it Mikal Bridges is busting out? Is it Booker's just having an amazing run? And everyone was just kind of doing their norm. I checked in on Chris Paul, and on this 8-game win streak, Chris Paul is averaging 15 points and 10 assists. I was like, oh man, that is so much less than I would expect. But he's like a positive 16 next net rating. So I like it. Kind of just biding his time.
Yeah.
I was thinking of maybe more of like a Bones Highland, you know, someone who we haven't seen much of early season, but who just had a great shooting game last night, or like a Furkan Korkmaz, who pretty quiet most of his career, but with the Embiid and Harris and Simmons absences, kind of came up really big recently. So that's where my head was at with this one.
Yeah, fair.
But yeah, I don't know. I thought this was kind of fun. Just
yep.
An interesting little exercise, something to talk about.
Yeah. Remind me what this movie's called.
This is The Eternals.
Did you like it? Do you think our listeners should go out and spend 2 hours of their life watching this film?
Absolutely. Yeah, Marvel's kind of resetting itself right now. You know, they did the whole big Infinity War saga, and now they're like, all right, cool. Now we're gonna try to have different characters, in part because the actors we've been using are now super famous and cost way too much money for us to keep making movies with them. So let's get other people. Let's make Kit Harington into a movie star, and he's gonna show up for 8 minutes in this movie, but he's gonna have like an eight movie deal. And let's get some diversity. Get Kumail Nanjiani. Get Brian Tyrese Henry, the guy that plays Paperboy in Atlanta. Which has Atlanta made it over there yet? Is that a show like that you guys see at all in New Zealand?
No.
Oh man,
Maybe other people have, but I haven't seen it come up anywhere.
it's a good show.
Yep. What's what who makes it? That's sort of the kicker. A lot of like HBO, I think. Like we don't get much of. Yeah, there's different sort of I don't know, studios, I guess, who
Yeah.
people who make the shows that we have less access to.
Yeah. Well, and you guys are still in lockdown right now, so you probably haven't gotten even the chance to see Eternals yet.
Oh no, we can't go to a cinema. I actually
Oh
want to see
man.
Dune. Been hanging out for that for like a year. And I see like people shitting on it. It's like, God damn it. Like, let me see this at the cinema.
I fell asleep when I watched Dune.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of like maybe a good sign, you know. I like the slow build, less action-packed film.
It was good, but I was just tired. And I will say, go see it in theaters because.
Oh yeah, 100%. Like I'm just gonna watch it, on my laptop. That's why I haven't watched it yet. I want to see it at the in a theater.
Richard pays for HBO, and so I pay for NBA League Pass, and I got the multi-account one, so that way he can watch mine, and I can watch his HBO, and we kind of traded. And so I just logged in, and I watched Dune from home, and it was a slow build. It was after work. It was really good from what I saw, but you'll have to let me know what you think when you get a chance to see it.
Yeah, well, we're actually starting from midnight tonight. We're dropping down in restrictions, so I think I can go to a cinema starting from tomorrow.
Oh, nice.
Very exciting.
If you want to kind of break down the characters and compare them to NBA teams, I'm in.
Alrighty.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. Let us know what you think of our players to Eternals comparisons. If you've got better ones, tweet at us at Hoops Temple Pod. Find us on Facebook, Hoops Temple. Email us, hoopstemple@gmail.com. And please keep on leaving those ratings. Thank you, Eric, for leaving a 5-star after the last episode. Love you, man.
Shout out, Eric.